Let's go ahead and let's say a word of prayer. Father, thank you so much for this morning. Thank you, God, for the cold and just the incredible day we can have here today and just how beautiful it is outside. Thank you for how beautiful it is in this room because of what we have in you, Jesus. And thank you that we walk in here and we have a relationship with you, and we know what it is to read your word, and we know what it is to really genuinely be able to talk to you and communicate with you, God. And Father, we're so grateful for the relationship that we get to have with you. And on top of that, and also with that, God, we're just grateful for the relationships that we have in this room. And God, I know we've been talking about relationships, and I know we can think, well, there's a lot of other things to talk about, but when I think of you and the incredible things you've given me, one of the best things you've given me is just the fellowship that we get to have with one another who follow you. God, we're so grateful to have that. Please help us as we look at your word today to really let your spirit work in our hearts and really let your scriptures come alive in our lives, God. Father, we love you so much. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right, so today we're going to talk about teaching and admonishing, okay? Because we're talking about our relationships with each other, right? And so, the thing I appreciate about the church is that I know that when we all come together every week, I'm looking at a bunch of men and women that really, really want to love God. That really, really, they're not just like going to church and just sitting down in a seat and filling up that space. But the thing I really appreciate about this church is I see so many people that just have hearts to really want to love God more. They have hearts to be more like Christ and just hearts to really follow in any way possible. And so what we're going to talk about today is really just a way for us. It's kind of like this way that God gives us that kind of helps us to do this even better, to become more like Christ. And so we're going to talk about teaching and admonishing. And I don't know what comes to your mind when we think about teaching and admonishing. Some of you guys might think, wow, that's awesome. And other people, I think, can sit there and look, admonishing, does that mean someone's going to get mad at me? And so there's many different things, and we're going to explain all about that today, what these things are. But I remember as a young Christian, I walked into the first time I came to church, I was a very prideful young man. I'm a prideful old man now, but I was even more prideful as a young man. And I just remember walking into this church, and I really thought I knew everything about everything because I really thought too highly of myself. And so when I figured out that I didn't, really, that was the point when I figured out I didn't know everything, was when people started teaching me things. Because there's a difference. School is important. We need to be taught in school. We need to be taught academics. We need to get a good education so we can get a good job. But one of the things that people don't teach you in this world is really how to have a great life. They don't teach you how to have a relationship with God. Nobody ever in my whole life taught me this. And so coming into God's church, it was just this whole thing that I had to really fight through my pride and really allow myself to be humble to really figure out what God wants for my life. So I don't know what you feel about those words right there, but I now, at being a Christian 24 years, I look back at my life and I could tell you person after person that was in my life that taught me different things. I think about even where I just came from in Lexington not so long ago. I call Sean all the time. He's the leader out there. Not because I have to, not because he's just this church leader and I feel like I have to but I talk to him because he's my friend. Because I really feel like he taught me some valuable things about loving other people. That was one thing I picked up from him. And so from different people through my life, I'm able to learn a little bit here, a little bit there. You probably find one person that has the complete package, right? Unless you're talking to Jesus. But there's a lot of things that we can learn from each other. So I really feel like this is a valuable thing for us to talk about in our relationships. And so, again, as with everything else in the Bible, there's always either one side or the other. And so, you know, when you think about teaching or admonishing, this may be what you think about is, you know, you think of it, and this may be more your character, is you're this person that just wants to lay down this law. And you can, like, this teacher that, you know, she's ready to slap your hand. You can imagine this lady, hold out your hand, and I'm going to slap it with that ruler. And so maybe that's the side that you sway on. Maybe that's the side who you are, or maybe that's, maybe you've had experiences of people in your life that maybe even in the church that kind of remind you of this person here. Okay? But that doesn't mean that it's, we shouldn't be teaching each other. That just means that there's, that's not the right way to do it. Then the other side of it all is, you know, that was me when I was younger, and no. that was all, like, Ken has some pictures like that. Yep. Long hair. Kind of long hair like that. But, you know, you may sway on this side where it's like, well, I don't know, thinking about teaching and admonishing each other, it's kind of like just kind of let everything go and everything's good and everything's right. And I'm sure the way God put it on your heart's right, so just go ahead and do it. You know, sometimes we can kind of have that attitude when it comes to teaching. But obviously both of those are not right. And just like with anything else, we want to make sure that we align our lives with the scriptures, that we align ourselves with Christ and with the Bible and with the things that are said, because that's where the answers lie. It's not in our own wisdom. Because in my own wisdom, I might be like that, or I might be like the other teacher, and that's not, neither one of them are right. So let's go ahead, let's look at some scriptures today about this subject. This is going to be the main scripture. We're going to come back to this quite often, where you look at many other scriptures as well. But this is in Colossians chapter 3 in verse 16. This scripture says, it says, let the message of Christ dwell among you richly, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. You know, this scripture here says that we are to teach and admonish one another. So if the Bible says that we're supposed to do this, we better figure out, does the Bible want us to do this, right? So that's what we're going to look at. And so first thing we're going to look at is teaching. And so the cool thing in here, it says teaching one another. It doesn't say, well, we'll get to this a little bit later. It's not like there's some people that are supposed to teach and others that are not. We're supposed to be teaching one another. So the word there for teaching, and I'm not even going to try to pronounce some of these because I'll have it way off. But the word means, in the Greek, it means to give instruction, to impart information or wisdom. Some examples of this would be like a parent teaches a child to cook. Okay, that would be an example of teaching. Or to fish or to manage money. An instructor may teach you to play the guitar. You know, I wish I had Douglas as my instructor, because I don't know how to play the guitar. I got one at home and I always make this noise on it, but that's about all that happens, is just noise. So I need an instructor. And so, you know, instructor can teach you how to play the guitar. They can teach you, if you're playing basketball, how to shoot a jump shot. You know, how to do it correctly. You know, that's what the teacher in those roles are supposed to do. Now, obviously, when we're looking back at this scripture here, we're talking more about, in this scripture, that it's clear that Christians are to teach one another those things that will result in spiritual development and growth. And so that's what we're looking at today. Obviously, there's a lot of areas to be taught, you know, and you may be the best kazoo player in the church or something, and you may want to feel like, I need to teach everybody how to play this instrument, and probably nobody really cares, and maybe they do, I don't know. But the thing is what we're talking about in the scripture is we're talking about how to help each other to get closer to God, how to become more like Christ through this method of teaching one another. And so you may think, when the word teaching, a lot of you guys know this guy, this is Douglas Jacoby, right? And you may think, well, you know, if you look at, there's just a couple, I just wrote down a couple of his credentials there, and you'll see in there, he's got like a doctorate in ministry and all that. And you may think, well, I can't teach if I'm not like that. He's the guy that can teach everybody. And yes, he does have a role, and his role maybe is a different sort of a teaching role. And I don't think this is quite the teaching we're talking about, that everybody has to go to school and everybody has to. Now, I think if you have that desire and you have that in you, some people are just built like that. They want to learn even more, the deeper stuff to help. I think that's something you should pursue. But this is not quite what we're talking about, because then we think, well, there's only a few people that can teach each other in the church, and that's just not right. And so we've got to really learn about this thing, teaching. So here's just a couple of things I want you to think about as we go through the following scripture, is what are we supposed to teach each other? You know, what are we supposed to teach? And who needs to be taught and to teach? And who needs to be taught? And I think sometimes we think, well, we can get to this certain level in our relationship with God where I've been around the church for this long. And we start thinking, well, I don't really need to be the one to be taught anymore. You know, we start thinking, well, it's only those young guys that just, you know, Cameron just got out of the waters of baptism last week. We got to teach him. And we do. But you know what? We got to really get rid of that thinking that the teaching is only for certain ones and not for the others. Because all of us should be, hopefully, on this quest to really get closer to God. Even when you get old, you're still on that quest to get closer and closer in our relationship with God. And so we're going to be looking at a scripture. You can turn your Bible over to Titus. And while you're doing that, I'm just going to tell you a little bit about this. This has nothing to do with what we're going to talk about, but maybe a little bit. But I just thought, I just try to share some of the things I'm studying and what goes along with my studies. But the book of Titus is one of the three pastoral epistles. And along with Titus, there's 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy. And along with Timothy, this epistle is considered to be Paul's final instruction to the church leaders. And Paul left Titus on the island of Crete. So Paul went to Crete, probably got the church started there, but he left Titus on this island, and that's about where it is. Sometimes it helps you just to kind of know where things are. It's kind of blurry, but you can see here's a looks like Ephesus right there, and Athens, and some of the other places in Greece. And so Crete is an island that was out in the middle, and it was actually a pretty big, it's a pretty big island, and it has a lot of people on it. And so what Paul was doing in this letter that we're going to read, he was really giving direction to Titus as to how the church should be set up. So he was saying, this is what I think, this is how we should do things, and this is what needs to happen in the church. So in Titus, we're going to look at chapter 2. So open your Bibles, because it's a little small, and we're going to kind of be stuck on this for a little bit here. But it says in 2, verse 1, it says, "You, however, must teach what is appropriate to sound doctrine. Teach the older men to be temperate, worthy of respect, self-controlled, and sound in faith, in love, and endurance. Likewise, teach the older women to be reverent in the way they live, not to be slanderers or addicted to much wine, but teach what is good. Then they can urge the younger women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled and pure, to be busy at home, to be kind, and to be subject to their husbands, so that no one will malign the word of God. Similarly, encourage the young men to be self-controlled. In everything, set them an example by doing what is good. In your teaching, show integrity, seriousness, and soundness of speech that cannot be condemned, so that those who oppose you may be ashamed because they have nothing bad to say about us. teach slaves to be subject to their masters in everything. Try to please them, not to talk back to them, and not to steal from them, but show that they can be fully trusted, so that in every way they will make the teaching about God, our Savior, attractive. For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age, while we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. These then are the things you should teach, encourage, and rebuke with all authority. Do not let anyone despise you. And this is really cool. So he gives direction here to Titus, and he says, this is what I think needs to be done in the church. Now you notice in the first part here, you'll see something that fits every person in the church, yeah. Right? So it says that first you got to teach the older men, you know, and sometimes from my experience, out of the four groups there, you got the young men, you got the younger women, you teach the older women, and you got to teach the older men. Sometimes in my experience over the years, and now I'm getting a little bit older, it was a time I fit in to the younger man group, right? So I don't know, most of you guys probably wouldn't say that anymore. I probably crossed over whenever that happens.
No, bro, I'm still young.
That's right, I'm still young. But in my experience, that it's usually that it's the older men, like myself, that have the hardest time wanting to be taught. Because, I know, no way. Because what happens to, especially to a man, that women are sometimes, this is not, women. There are very prideful women, right? And there are very humble women. But I think men in general, a lot of times we struggle with pride. And if we don't catch our pride when we're young, what happens is when we get older, we get to the point where really nobody can teach me anymore. You know, I'm not going to listen to your teaching. But he says here that older men, they need to be temperate. They need to be worthy of respect. We need to teach them to be self-controlled and sound in faith and in love and endurance. So the older men need to be taught. I need to be taught. You know, it doesn't end. When I'm 90 years old, I'm still, if I make it to 90, I'm going to have to still be taught. Right? Yeah. And then it says the older women, you know, it says that they got to be not slanderers, not addicted to much wine. Hopefully our women are not addicted to much wine. And teach what is good. And so the older women also need to be taught. Younger women, what are we supposed to teach them? Teach them in their marriages, you know, those who are younger in their marriage. Help them to be self-controlled, pure, busy at home, to be kind, subject to their husbands, and so that can malign the word of God. And then you got the younger men that just starts out by teaching them to be self-controlled.
Come on.
You know? So, and you probably, my guess is, need help with being self-controlled, right? That I know when I was younger, I needed help being self-controlled, because what I want, how I want it, and because I really hadn't experienced so much of life yet to really learn. But the cool thing is that everybody needs to be taught. There is no certain level that you get to where we do not need teaching anymore. It just does not happen. The only place that usually happens is in our mind. We start thinking, well, I'm just at a different level. I'm just, maybe you're a young guy and you might think, well, I'm a little bit smarter than everybody else. I don't really need to learn from them. I guarantee you, there is something to be learned from everybody in this room.
Come on, bro.
And there's something that we need to be taught to everybody in this room. Because all of us, I don't care how spiritual you are, I don't care how much you're trying to go after God and how many years you've been faithful to God, you still have areas in your life that really need to grow. And they'll be needing that. Maybe you work on one thing this week, and maybe next week it's another thing. But we always have things in our life that we need to be taught. And so he's just talking to the leader of the church here. He's not talking to the general public. But the point here is that we all need it. You know, and then it goes on, it says that, you know, God has offered salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives. And then down further it says, these are the things you should teach. So when we think about what all these groups really need, is all of us, we need to be directed back to the Bible. We need to be directed back to God. And we, in those scriptures, it teaches us, when we look at the life of Jesus, when we look at the examples in the Bible, it teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions. We all need that. There will never, it's funny because when you're young, you think, well, if I just graduate, you know, I have, you know, I heard young guys say, well, I struggle with purity. And if only I could get married, at that point, all my troubles are gone. Oh, that's you're not you haven't lived it yet. There's, you don't know what you're really saying. So we got to make sure that we don't just go through stages and think, well, I've arrived somewhere. We need to be taught how to do it, and we need to learn how to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions. So we all need to learn. I need to learn. You know, we all do. And some of us might be thinking, well, If I got to be one of the ones that are teaching somebody, well, what do I really teach? You know, what do I teach? Here's a really easy one for you. And we'll go back to their original scripture. We need to teach people our quiet times. We need to be teaching people what we're learning in God. How do I know that? Because going back to Colossians, it says, let the message of Christ dwell among you richly, as you teach and admonish one another. So when I look at this scripture, it tells me that the main thing that I need to be communicating to my brothers and sisters is I need to be communicating the Bible. I need to be communicating what I'm learning in the scriptures. It's so sad because sometimes we think, and we live in this world where Christianity is about this personal relationship with God. And we somehow think when we don't have we're not close to God, it just hurts me. But according to Scripture, if I don't have anything in Christ that's dwelling, the message of Christ, if that message is not dwelling in me richly, then I'm hurting those around me because I have nothing to teach them.
Wow.
If I don't have my quiet times and I'm missing days here and there, and on the other days I'm just kind of like, well, you know, I got my 5 minutes in today. You tell me, what can you learn in 5 minutes? What can you learn really in 10 minutes? What can you learn in 15? I want to ask you guys that are students, how much do you put time into your books to learn subjects, right? If you've got, you know, chemistry, you don't just go, well, I did 5 minutes worth of it, so I put it down, I'm good to go. Right? Maybe some of you guys do. I don't know. Let's hope not. But you put the time into it, right? You put the time into it because then that scripture is not just something that, yeah, I checked, you know, I checked it off. I had my quiet time. I read my Bible, you know, so I can just move on to the next thing. It says that we need to be at a point where that message of Christ is dwelling among us richly. So that we, as you teach and admonish each other, they'll be able to see that scripture. It'll come out through the wisdom of the Psalms and hymns and all those other things. But we need to make sure that we are staying in a close relationship with God. Don't ever think that if you're not having your quiet times, it just affects you. Don't ever think that if you're having to buy quiet times, that it just affects you. It doesn't. You know, when you're not having your quiet times, really back the growth, the spiritual growth of this church. And we need to really think about that because we all want to see God do great things in our lives. We want to see God do great things in this church. We dream of one day having, you know, 10 times this amount of people. That's right. We dream of so many different things. But it really comes down to, are we connecting with the one who we're wanting to do all this stuff for us? You know, God is not just the one that we ask things to and say, God, do this for me. God is the one that we've got to connect with our relationship. We've got to get in our Bible. We've got to read things. You know, one of the things that have got to get common in our church is it's got to be very normal around the church. When you come into fellowship or you see a brother and sister during the week, you start talking about Scripture. You start talking about something that you've read that day because it just fired you up. You were so excited about this. Or maybe you just learned this new concept in the Scripture. And you looked at that Scripture and you studied it and you looked at the Greek, the original words, you looked at other translations. You come back and you go, Cameron, I learned this thing today. I want to show this and I want to share this with you. So that way we can all be taught from each other. The problem is when we're not doing that, we really don't have anything to teach each other but our own human wisdom. And just think about that. Our own human wisdom was the thing that drove us away from God. We don't want to use our human wisdom. We want to use the Scriptures. And those Scriptures have got to be dwelling in us richly. Amen, church?
Amen.
Your quiet times, your times of reading, those are times that are not just for you. They are for the whole church because that's what makes the church grow.
Amen.
So we need to be teaching each other. We need to be teaching what? We need to be teaching the Bible to each other. We need to be opening our Bible with each other. You know, think about that. In the last week, how many times have you opened up the Bible with another brother or sister in this room? How many times have you sat down and said, hey bro, hey sis, I want to share with you what I've learned in my quiet times today? It's funny, I hear a lot of people sharing what happened at work. I hear a lot of people sharing about their classes at school. But I don't know if I hear all the time people saying, hey, I want to show you a Scripture. I want to show you what I've learned today. We need to teach each other in that way. Not only do we need to teach, but we need to admonish. Now, that's a scary word, right? Admonish. Oh, that means someone's going to admonish me. You know, that's a really tough thing. And what the word admonish in this Scripture means, though, is it means that we are to warn and counsel and exhort. Okay? It doesn't mean that someone's supposed to throw things at you. It doesn't mean that they're even supposed to raise their voice. That has nothing to do with admonishing. Because admonishing is warning someone, is letting them know, hey, there's something wrong here. And so it says admonish through instruction, especially appeals to the mind, supplying doctrinal and spiritual substance, content. And this exerts positive pressure on someone's logic, reasoning. That is urging them to choose to turn to God's best, right? Mm-hmm. So you're helping someone to turn to God's best. And sometimes we look at something like that, and I already know that once you see the word there, it says positive pressure. Some of our minds already go, pressure? There's not supposed to be any pressure in the church. Well, that's because we think that way because pressure, we think of all the bad things about pressure. But you know, there's actually things that we look at that have pressure that are really, really good.
Teach us, bro.
One thing is, you know, Marge is a gemologist, and so we know a little bit about diamonds. Marge does anyway. She went to school for that. It says here that a diamond is merely a lump of coal that did well under pressure. So when we look at that pressure that happened to that diamond, we don't go, oh, poor piece of coal. That poor piece of coal. It had to go through all that pressure to get to this nice shiny thing on my finger. I don't think that's what you think about when somebody proposes, you know, one day some of you guys will get engaged or some of the married couples, you know, that guy hands you that ring. Oh, that poor thing. It went through pressure. See, there is a such thing as bad pressure, and that's not what we're talking about here. And we'll talk a little bit about what bad pressure is a little bit later. But there is a such thing as having a good, godly pressure that, like the definition says, it exerts a positive pressure on someone's logic and reasoning. Meaning there's some times in our life where our reasoning is just way off. It's not going with the Bible. You ever had times like that where there's something in your life that you just were thinking about something, and then brothers and sisters came to you and said, hey, this is wrong because I see it in the scriptures. You're like, no, I see this is what I'm going to do anyway. You know, we all have those times because all of us, you know, we're never perfect, and we all need to be admonished sometimes. And we need those times where there's a little gentle pressure in Christ to push that person towards the right understanding and the right reasoning. Okay? And so it's about warning. It's about counseling each other. You know, who has the authority in the church to do this? Who has the authority to admonish? You know, we look at Paul, and these are some first couple examples here, and we know that Paul was a leader, and he was telling other leaders here. In Acts 20:31, Paul said to the Ephesian elders, he said, so be on your guard. Remember that for 3 years, I never stopped warning each of you night and day with tears. The warning in there is the word for that, admonish. Okay, when you look at the original Greek, it's the same word. That's why I have that up there. So, you know, he's telling the Ephesian elders, so he's telling leaders, it's okay for you guys to admonish other people. In Colossians 1:28, Paul said to the Colossians, to the church there, he said, he is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. So again, he's talking about himself doing this to the Colossians, that it's okay for the leader to do that, okay? And sometimes that's what we have in our mind, that it's only for those that are in that role of some sort of a leadership, because we look at admonishing as sort of this mean thing, when really it's a really helpful tool in our relationship with God. You know, here's how we traditionally look at things. You know, we see this guy, he's the minister there, and you see all these people sweating, right? You know, I don't know what he just got done telling them. Now, you know, he must have just told them, like, you guys are all in sin and doing something wrong. I don't know what he's saying, but something he was admonishing them on, right? And so they're sweating. And so how we look at this, we look, well, that's kind of what the minister's role in the church is. It's kind of like this. So that minister, he imparts all of his great wisdom. And because of his role, there is something in the paperwork that he filled out for the job that says you are now the one that gets to do all the admonishing in the church. And that is just not what the Bible says. You know, if you look over in Romans 15, and now this is in the NASB, in verse 14, it says, and concerning you, my brethren, I myself also am convinced that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with the knowledge, and able also to admonish one another. It says here that, you know, he believed in them, and he said that, you know, I see you guys are full of goodness, that you're filled with knowledge. You know, and that's what I see in this church. I see there's a lot of people here that really do love God with all their hearts. There's a lot of great wisdom in this room. I'm telling you, if you're depending on just on my wisdom to really go around this whole church, and that's the wisdom that we follow, that's the wrong way of doing it, you know, because my wisdom may be off. I need to be taught too. I need to be admonished too. And so we've got to look at the scripture, and we've got to go, this is not just for the leaders of the church. This is for everybody. This is for my brethren. This is for everybody. We've got to get to a point in our relationship with God and our relationship with each other that we, when we see something that needs to be warned in someone, we can sit down with them and we can have a good heart-to-heart talk to help that person from going in the wrong direction. Okay? Now, again, it needs to be based on the scriptures. It needs to be based on the scriptures and not your logic. That's where the issues came from and all will come from. Sometimes we'll look back and that person admonished me. I remember I had one guy admonish me years ago. He came up to me and he started yelling at me. And I was like, what did I do? I don't even know what you're talking about. And you're yelling at me. I don't know. I still don't know to this day what he was talking about. But all I know is this guy had a problem because he never showed me a scripture. He never showed me a scripture. He just admonished me. And you know what? That's not the admonishment we're talking about here in the scripture. That's not the warning. In fact, you don't need to raise your voice at all to admonish someone. Let the scriptures do the talking, not yourself. The scriptures have the answers. But again, we need to know our Bibles so that we can help each other in this way. Okay? But all of us, we all have good things. Now, you may learn something this morning that I didn't learn. And you may be focused on something in your relationship with God that I'm not focused on right now. And that's fine, because there's many different aspects in our relationship with God, right? So if I'm focused on this one right here, and everybody's depending on me to warn everybody and admonish and teach everybody some of those one things, what happens is it becomes a very narrow-minded church. And I don't want that. I want this to be not. I want this to be a wide-minded that focuses on Christ. We're not wide in that way. We don't go off every day the way we want. But we help each other to land back on our relationship with God and what the Bible says. So admonishing, we got to get this out of our mind that admonishing is a dirty word. Admonishing is a way to help people around you, especially that they're having a really hard time. We'll look at here who needs to be admonished. But it's not just for the leader of the church. This is more the way the admonishing and the teaching needs to look like in our church. Instead of that, right? That one doesn't look good, right? This is the way it should be. We all have something to give each other. We all have something to learn from each other in. Don't look to me. Don't look to the one person. Don't look at two people. Look at everybody. We all need to be in this. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Here it says, so who do we admonish? What type of, you know, because it's more than just teaching. Now you're actually warning them a little bit. Who do we do that to? 1 Thessalonians 5:14.
Come on.
It says, and we urge you, brothers and sisters, warn, again, that's the same word there for admonish. Warn those who are idle and disruptive. Encourage the disheartened. Help the weak. Be patient with everyone. Okay? So, who are the people that we're supposed to encourage? The disheartened, right? Okay, those are people that are kind of down, maybe having some really hard things going on in their life. You know, they need to be encouraged. The last thing that that person needs is to be warned, right? You know, your mom died the other day and you didn't show up to church. I mean, come on. That is not what the Bible is saying to do. And if that we do those kind of things in our sinful mind, that's not the way that Jesus wants us. That's not the way the Bible ever intended the admonishing to be. Okay? So we encourage the disheartened. We help those that are what? They're weak. Right? So a weak person is someone that's really trying with all their heart, that they're having a hard time with things, but they're really trying all their heart. You know what you can never ask someone to do? You can never ask someone to be capable of. Sometimes we have this level of things where they need to be in our mind. But the thing is, maybe that person's not capable. Maybe they're trying with all their heart where they are spiritually right now. They're working so hard and they're giving their whole heart, but they're just not doing like you would say most people are doing. So you know, we compare and we go, well, that's where you should be. Now, that person, what they need is they need someone to help them out.
Right.
That means they need someone to walk side by side with them. They need you to get in the battle with them. They need you to sit down with them and talk to them. Maybe they're having a hard time praying because there's something traumatic happened in their life. They need you to go out and pray with them so you can encourage them through your prayers, and then eventually they'll start praying more. They need your help. You know, be patient with everybody else. But the one there that it says needs to be warned or admonished, it says warn those who are idle and disruptive. If a car's idle, how fast are we going? We're going zero, right? So when your car's kind of in neutral, it's just sitting there, you know, and you got the engine running, but it's going nowhere. You know what that's doing?
Burning gas.
It's burning gas. That's all it's doing. It's burning gas. The purpose of a car is to go somewhere. It's not to sit there. So when we think about someone who is idle, we think about the same thing. If someone in the relationship with God is just a sign, you know what, I'm not really going to try hard. I'm not going to, you know what, I'm just not going to have my quiet. I'm just not going to do it. That's a lot different than I'm having a hard time doing it. Okay, let's be clear on that. But when someone is idle and they're sitting around and all they do is just play around at home, watching movies or whatever, when everybody else is like doing things for God, you know, and if that's kind of the whole gist of their life, you have every right as a brother or sister to go up to that person and say, I need to warn you a little bit here with the scriptures. Because what you're doing is you're saving that person. You're helping, you're loving that person from falling off in away, falling away from God. You're helping them. It's not mean to them to give a warning. Now again, you don't raise your voice. If you raise your voice, then you struggle with anger. Okay, I just want to be clear with that. If you raise your voice, you start yelling, whatever, and just saying things out of your mind, you have an issue with anger, and someone probably needs to admonish you. Okay, but we need to see this as we are saving that idle person from going the wrong direction by giving them this warning. And also a disruptive person. I don't think we have too many disruptive people in this room. Disruptive would be someone that's like really causing a lot of troubles in the church and stuff like that. And so, does that make sense?
Yeah.
We got to make sure that when we think about admonishing each other, it's not this bad thing that we do, but it's a way to help someone who is either idle or disruptive. And see, these kind of things do come up in the family. We are a family. And I want you to think about your childhood growing up in your physical family. Was there anybody that was a little idle once in a while? Was there anybody in your family that was disruptive? You know? Now, maybe your parents sat there and just said, you know, Johnny, just be as disruptive and idle as you want around the house. Do nothing around here. Just, you know, just be idle and disruptive. I don't think most parents would say that, though. But we do need the warning. Just like our physical family needed to warn us sometimes, we do need to warn each other to help each other and to love each other. Yeah. Okay? And so, how should we admonish?
Okay.
Ephesians 4, in verse 15, it says, instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become, in every respect, the mature body of Him who is the head, that is Christ. So in speaking to each other, and this goes for teaching as well, when we're teaching each other and when we admonish each other, we need to always, number one, we need to be speaking the truth. Where do we find the truth?
The Bible.
The truth is in the Bible. We always need to be speaking the truth, okay? But then we need to speak that truth in love. And this is very important. You should never teach or admonish someone who you don't love with all your heart. I'm going to say that again. You should never teach or admonish someone who you do not love with all your heart. Because what happens is it becomes you against that person. Instead of you helping them and showing them love, the love of Christ, through your love relationship with that person. Okay? I want to be clear on that. These are some important things because we're going to have these things come up in the church. There's going to be times where we need to teach each other. There's going to be times coming up where we're going to have to admonish each other. But if it's not done the way the Bible says, you will be the one being admonished. Because we are not, we should not tolerate people stepping outside of the biblical realm and doing it their own way. That's not going to cut it as a church and as a family. The family rules are we need to love each other when we share the truth. Okay? Amen? I got that? Okay, I want to make sure. I know this is not the most fun topic, but you know what? The result of this topic is very fun. Because what happens when we feel like we can teach and admonish each other, and we're actually doing that, what you're going to find is that we're all going to grow in our relationship with Christ.
Come on, bro.
You know, if all we do when we get together is talk about the football game or talk about, you know what happened the other day or whatever, that's not what the spiritual relationship is supposed to look like. We're supposed to be using the scriptures with each other. We're supposed to be in each other's life, not just with your own wisdom, but with the Bible. Because the Bible has the truth. We do not on our own. Okay, what admonishing is not? is not to make a person, the person giving the admonishment, look good, or the person receiving the admonishment look bad. Number two, it is not to gain a position of authority or superiority, okay? You never teach or admonish someone, especially admonish, because you want to accomplish something. You want to do it because you're saving that person from going the wrong direction, okay? Number three, it is not to force someone to do something they don't want to do, okay? You don't have the authority to get in there and force them to do it. That doesn't mean you can't admonish them, though. They're going to have to still choose. You can't force anybody to do anything. You don't want to control anybody. I don't want to. I can barely control myself, okay? So controlling other people is not productive if I can't even do it for myself, okay? So it's not to force someone. Number four, it's not to embarrass someone. You never, ever, ever admonish someone in a public place. Meaning that after church here, I look at that, that's my great time. I'm gonna do it when everybody's in the room, I'm gonna go up, I'm gonna warn you right here, and everybody else is looking at us. You know what that's gonna do? That's gonna embarrass them. That's not the right thing. We gotta do things in love. And it's not to keep people in line. Okay? And I put that there because we've seen people do wrong things. But we need to get past those things and do them the right way. But this is not the way what admonishing is. What is the goal of admonishing? It's to help one another grow and change and be transformed more fully into the image of Christ. Oh, such growth will be for their benefit and for the benefit of those around them. It will strengthen the body of Christ. Okay? We are to admonish and teach each other. It's for one reason only. It's to help that person transform to be more like Christ. Because Christ is the one we're here to follow, right? You're not here to follow me. You're not here to follow your leader of your group. You're here to follow Christ. Okay? And that's the reason why we do it. Okay, so what does admonishing do? When we do it correctly, what it does, it causes us to examine ourselves more carefully. And it takes relationships deeper, and it helps give attention to important issues in their lives and see that there are others around who want to help them to change. Okay? When there's not this admonishment, sometimes we feel like, sometimes honestly, when I've been doing bad and nobody comes up to help me and correct me and teach me, I start feeling like, doesn't anybody care about me? You know, we want to be cared for. Sometimes we need to be cared for when we're not doing good. We all need that. We need to see people helping us. Okay, let's close on out here. Here's a question or questions for yourself, okay? I want you to think about this. How do you feel about the role of teaching and admonishing others? How do you feel about it? How do you really feel about it deep in your heart? And I want you to write some of these questions down because I think this would be something so awesome that if in your D times this week and in your times together as you meet with other people, I'd really like for you to discuss these things. You know, it's one thing when you just see it at church. It's another thing when you're open and you start discussing it. Okay, how do you really feel about it? You know, am I willing to do so that others around me can grow in their relationship with Christ? Some of you guys may say, it's not me to teach and admonish. Well, are you willing to do this to see others around you be more like Christ? Okay, I want you to ask yourself those questions. All right, here's some other questions here. It says, the first question is, this is questions I want you to write down because I want you to ask people around you these questions, all right? I want you to ask, number one, ask someone who knows you well this week, someone who knows you pretty well, what do you perceive is my attitude towards being taught, admonished, counseled, and corrected? Basically, when you give me input in my life, when you show me the scriptures, how well do I take it? Okay? You're not going to be the best judge yourself. You need to ask someone else that question. How well do I take teaching and admonishing from the scriptures? Okay? The second thing is ask that same person, is there anything in my life that you have thought about talking to me about, but act for any reason or have not been sure how it would go if we did. Okay, does everybody get that question? So in other words, if there's something that that person has been all along been afraid to talk to you about because they knew you were going to react bad and they just never told, now part of that would be them, they probably need to tell you anyway, but sometimes we can put a wall around it so no one can talk to us. Okay? And so ask people around you these questions. Okay? And so really the whole thing here today is I like these kind of things because I learn something when I do these kind of studies and when I learn about certain subjects like this. And to me, my whole goal is to get to heaven. My whole goal is to be like Christ. I know yours is the same. That's why you're here. No one forced you. Did anybody have anybody at their bedside this morning drag them out of bed? No, you guys all came here on your free will because we love Jesus and we want to be more like him. That's why I'm excited about this church. Because I know everybody, that's our heart, that's our passion, that's who we want to be, okay? And so I know that when I look at these things that maybe don't seem so fun, these are the things that will help us to get closer to God, okay? So let's be excited about this. Guys, this is an incredible church. It really is. And I think that, you know, as we help each other to get to new levels, we're going to see God do even more things. And so let's really be excited. If you have questions about this, come talk to people. Let's talk. You know, we want to make sure we follow the Bible. Amen. But let's make sure that we view this as something really awesome in our lives. I love you, church.